It's an interesting irony that women are almost the sole wearers of pearls, and yet the entire industry, from producing to buying, was, up until about 15 years ago, entirely male-dominated. So Broome's Jazz Cook was a pioneer when she became the first female Indigenous pearl technician in the early 2000s, working on a pearl farm off Beagle Bay. Jazz told me how she got her start in the pearling industry.
So my first year on the farm, I started working with spat, which is the baby shell, cutting. They're about the size of your thumbnail. And where our job was to cut them off slats and then use a teaspoon to put them into panels to hang. First time I've ever done anything like that. And that was just a two-week gig. And before my 2 weeks was up, I asked if I could stay on the farm for longer. And the farm manager took me out one day to chip the shell. And at the end of the day, on our way back in, he pulled me aside and he said, "You've passed."
You've passed.
Yeah, so he put me to the test. And so I got a full-time job, chipping shell, cleaning shell, for about 6 months before harvest time came around. And that's when the technicians come, they hire more people, and it gets super busy. They, being the only female on the farm, I got the role of being the head technician assistant, because they generally only use females as technician assistants because they're gentler on the shell after they've had their operations.
And what was your role as a technician's assistant?
To make sure all technicians had shell, panel up the shells they've operated on, empty their kill buckets, whatever they needed, cups of tea, water.
Just praise.
Yeah, pretty much. So there's about 13 technicians and six of us on the floor, so we'd juggle between them.
And then you began your four-year course to become a fully qualified technician. It's a very hard job. Tell me about the role.
Yeah, so there's no textbook. It's all hands-on. So basically the lead technician would let me watch over his shoulder how he would do the procedure and then get me to sit in the chair and do it while he would watch over my shoulder and just give a few tips where I might need to improve or do better. It's very hard to see over the shoulder because the gap you're looking through is quite small. It's like looking through a keyhole.
And you're using small tools, aren't you?
Yeah, they're technically designed for dentistry. They're dentistry tools. So, yeah, for microsurgery, basically.
Yeah. Because that's what you're doing. And the oyster is a living being, and you have to look very closely at that shell and that living being as you're operating on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to gauge the health of the oyster. Are they going to be able to survive the operation, for starters? And each oyster have different characteristics. Some will react differently to how you treat them.
Really? Like what?
Some might tighten up and clamp down really hard and withdraw. So the area you're operating on, it becomes harder to get to. Or they could stay relaxed and then it's easier to do the procedure.
How do you know whether you've had any success in seeding that pearl shell with the nucleus? Because it's a long time before you get to harvest it.
Yeah, so before you close the shell up, you take a look at the positioning of where you've put it. You take a look at your incision and just the general health of the oyster. And then it's up to the oyster at the end of the day.
And what was your result? You succeeded with your course. You became the full technician. How good were you in the scheme of things, Jazz?
I wasn't the best of the best, but I was definitely up there. I had the lowest mortality rate and I managed to produce some beautiful stunners.
And you would be seeding how many shells a day?
Anywhere between 300 to 500 a day.
Wow, up to 500 a day. That's a lot of dentistry tool work, Jazz. I believe you had a little secret, though, that some of the other technicians didn't employ. Singing to shell?
Yeah, I believed it helped to keep the shell calm, also keep myself calm and on the ball.
Any favourite songs?
Not particularly. I'd go through a variety of different songs, yeah.
Now, purling is actually in your family's blood. Your father and your grandfather have also been involved in the industry. What's their connection to Broome's pearl shell trade?
Well, my grandfather, my mum's father, he came over from China, and he was a hard hat diver for a while until one of his friends got the bends and passed away, and he decided he wouldn't do that anymore. And then my father was a Perth boy that came up to get away from the city and just ended up on the boats like a lot of people do. And he was in that industry for about 20 years, just doing a variety of different things, being the cook, being a boat driver, chipping shell.
And as a child, you didn't have a pet cat or a pet dog like a lot of other Broome kids. What did you have, Jazz?
When I was 10, I had a pet pearl oyster called Bronwyn.
A pet pearl oyster called Bronwyn.
Yeah.
Why?
Why not?
What did you feed Bronwyn?
Well, they're filter feeders, so they'll just eat whatever's floating around in the ocean. So I guess you just put a little bit of fish food in it.
And did Bronwyn grow? Did Bronwyn thrive?
She did for a little while, but she didn't really like living in the bucket she was in, so...
In the end, you needed to free Bronwyn.
Yeah, I did.
Let her rejoin her crew in Roebuck Bay. Jazz, reflecting on your time in the industry as the first and only Indigenous female pearl technician, what have you loved about being involved?
Being on the water, you see some amazing, amazing things. We'd be chipping shell one day and a humpback will pop up next to you. Dolphins would pop up next to you. Sailfish would pop up next to you. You just see some amazing things out there when no one's around. And the friendships you make with the other people you're working with, you end up becoming family.
That's Broome's Jazz Cook, the first female Indigenous pearl technician who worked for a decade on the pearl farm off Beagle Bay. And how about that? As a kid, having a pet Pinctata Maxima called Bronwyn. Jazz was one of the speakers at a Women in Pearling talk yesterday at the Lustre exhibition. Now, this exhibition is on show for free until the 26th of September, including weekends. Pop in, have a look inside Notre Dame Hall. The pearl shell and gems that are on display and the First Nations cultural connections to the pearl shell are all beautifully explored. It's a really interesting exhibition that Nyamba Buru Yaru has developed. It's been on tour on the eastern seaboard and down south for 6 years. This is the first time it's returned home to be on show here. I do recommend that you go and have a look at it.